Good morning, church. Good to see each and every one of you here this morning as we're approaching in just a couple of days an important day in the history of our country, our Independence Day, but the greatest Independence Day that ever has been was the day our Lord and Savior rose from the grave and defeated death, hell, and the grave. So he made it possible for us to have that same independence. We're free. We're free indeed if we know him as our Lord and Savior. So he deserves our praise this morning. If you're watching by Facebook or listening on the radio, we welcome you this morning. Thank you for your participation in our worship service. In the way of announcements, in addition to what's already on the bulletin, everyone that's involved in making blankets for Image Foster Care, please meet in the fellowship hall next Sunday, not this Sunday, next Sunday, July 9th at 10:45 for a photo and to pray over the blankets. So those involved, please try to make arrangements to do that next Sunday. No others? Now, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, thank you again for this day and our blessings. And Father, how you richly have given us so many good things. And we know that all good things come from you. We thank you for this liberty that we have to gather together this morning. And for the men and women who fought and strived, Father, and sacrificed so that we might have that freedom today to come together. We thank you most of all for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself to provide the liberty that we have now from the consequences of sin, Father, from the consequences of separation from you. You made it possible, Father, through him, for us to be reconciled, Father, to truly be called the sons and daughters of God Almighty. Thank you, Father, for that. We look to you now, all of our that are on our prayer list, those that were added this morning in the Sunday school hour. We pray for those who are sick, those who have lost loved ones, those who are traveling. Watch over them and bring them safely home or take them safely to their destination. We look to your choir this morning and ask, Father, that you would bless them as they raise their voices and praises to you. And, Father, as our pastor comes, Father, we ask that you would have your hand upon him in a mighty way to give us the words that you have us to hear this day. We thank you and praise you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
We'll give John a praise this morning. John chapter 2.
Good morning, church. In recognition of this is a holiday weekend with July the 4th being on Tuesday, as we open up the church services, if you'll stand, we are going to salute our American flag and our Christian flag. We'll do as we do in Awana. Attention, salute, and pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pledge to the Christian flag. Attention, salute, and pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one brotherhood, uniting all nations in service and in love.
And if you want to take a hymnal, you can. We're going to sing just the first stanza of America the Beautiful. It's page 630.
Mountains.
stand. We will go into our worship praise because we want to praise our Heavenly Father. And in Psalms 69, verse 30-31, it says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. And you all know these songs as we start to sing. How great is our God.
Give God our praises, and we have to continue.
continue to praise Him for His amazing grace. My chains are gone.
You. and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call at the midnight cry. We'll be going home when Jesus steps out
the way that everything's tied together this morning is amazing, and how God always seems to confirm what His message is for the day. Again, we'll be in the book of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8, we'll be reading verses 31 through 36, focusing on verses 31 through 43, but we'll focus on verses 31 through 38. But again, it's good to see you today. So grateful that you've made the effort to come out. And don't it just look better and better, that last song, as we get further and further into this world and see how it ain't going to get no better. It's just going to implode. Ain't that what they said about the sub or whatever the other day? It's just going to implode. And it's just great to know that there's a table waiting for us when we get to heaven. And there's going to be a feast like we've never had before. There's going to be family and friends that we've not seen in a long time. But more than that, Jesus will be there. And forever and ever we'll be with Him who loved us enough to give His life for us. And man, I'm loved down here. I know I am. I'm very loved, very blessed. But ain't nobody ever loved me like that. And if you don't know Him today, I pray that you will come to know Him. Because there's a hope found in Him. There's a purpose found in Him. There's a whole nother life, not just here on earth, but an eternal life that is found in Him. And He created you. He made you and me in His image. And it's His desire and purpose for you that you spend an eternity with Him as well. Amen? So as you're turning to the book of John, chapter 8, do we have any words of praise or testimony this morning? Amen. Could have been a very lot worse. Amen. Amen. He's promised. He will. And you know, He does all things well. That's what Scripture tells us. And I don't know how to put that all together in my mind and my world at times, but I still believe that. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You remember, thus saith the Lord. And we've got to trust what thus says the Lord and not what thus says man or thus says our feelings or thus says AI or whatever it might be, you know. But anyone else got a word of praise or testimony this morning? Thank God I was inside before that storm got here. Amen. It got dark and black fast around this place. I was like, what in the world is going backwards? It's supposed to get brighter the longer I'm here. But today it got darker the longer I was here. If you're watching by Facebook or listening by the radio, it is good to have you with us today. And we appreciate the fact that you are allowing us to be a part of your worship experience. And our goal today is just to make much of Jesus. And in doing that, I pray that you're lifted up and you're encouraged. I would ask, if you would, to give us an opportunity to be in your life personally, face to face. And I'm thankful for as you're turning to John chapter 8, for the opportunities over Facebook and the radio and all that. But the Bible tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And even that much more as you see that day, the day of judgment, the day of Christ coming. And I think we're seeing that right now. I mean, the more and more we see it, it can't be long. I mean, it can't be much longer. And so if you would, give us the opportunity. Like I say, you ain't never got to come back again. I mean, you ain't got to come the first time, but we'd love to just love on you a little bit, okay? Anyone else today got a word of praise or testimony? Amen. Amen. I'm one of them. That's me. Oh, amen. And it's going to get worse. If I'm wrong, I pray I'm wrong. But it's looking like it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And this dollar, what is it, putting it in the computer stuff and all that? You know, in Europe right now, you can't spend more than $1,000 cash. Now that they've went to digital Bitcoin, you can't spend over $1,000. They've limited it. Scary. That's scary because it's coming. It's coming. But so is Jesus. Amen. So is Jesus. Anyone else this morning? Amen. 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 Thank you. It was good to see you. I was watching you yesterday on the camera. Well, y'all was delivering. And being of that, thank you, sister. I just want to say thank you to everybody that made the effort to love on Miss Robin's family and brought the food up here and prepared everything. And it was busy, everybody coming in and going yesterday, in and out. And thank you to everybody for just loving on them. And continue to pray for Sister Alma and Sister Carol and the rest of the family as they learn how to live in a different world now. You know, it's a new life for them. But what a wonderful testimony she had. And I tell you what, I'd like for us to get that group in here and sing a little bit that sang over there yesterday. That was a wonderful. What is it, the Hood Singers? Is that what it is? That was wonderful. And then also, let's continue to pray for Sister Ernestine. She's coming home today around lunchtime. So I told her she must have been showing off at her physical therapy, but it's been about five or six days now, so we give God the praise for that. And then also, next Sunday night, we're going to be having, trying to start again, the Low Country Bowl. So if you would, just kind of let us know if you're coming, and then also there's opportunity to bring some desserts and some things as well, a sign-up sheet out there. So come be a part of that. Anything else before we go? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And it'll be special to him too, reading that Bible to you. I can remember my daddy letting me read it to him. And that was when I was a grown adult there, much less as a child, you know. Anything else? Word of praise. Just Lord's did something good for you this week. All right, this morning, if we had a title, which didn't think I'd be coming from this last week when we started the series, I kind of thought we'd be back in Matthew, and we will be at the Sermon on the Mount. But today we're going to talk about, and if you would stand with me in honor of God's Word, we're going to talk about, thus saith the Lord, true freedom. Thus saith the Lord, true freedom. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall make us free? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, and I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of my own self, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my words? You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I do thank you and I praise you for this day. I thank you, God, for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. God, I'm thankful, Lord, that you do all things well. Even, Lord, though, as we have already said, that, God, sometimes it just don't make sense. Sometimes it just don't look right or feel right. But, Lord, you always are on our side. And if God be for us, then who shall be against us? Lord, what an awesome truth that is today. God, I ask you to forgive me my sins and my failures and my shortcomings. And I pray right now that you take your word. And God, I thank you that I'm an American. I thank you that you allow me to be born in America. And Lord, I believe it's the greatest country on the earth. And God, I pray for it today. I pray for her today that you just touch her and bring revival. But Lord, for the next few minutes, let our hearts and minds be focused through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit, that we can allow your word, and that he'll take your word and he'll breathe it into our lives, and that we'll leave here knowing you better, more committed, and in a better place all around than we were when we come in. Lord, let our hearts and minds be given to you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you remember last Sunday morning, we kindly started a series, like I said, on Thus Saith the Lord, Their Tooth or My Cheek. And you remember there's that dichotomy there that it's kind of like, you know, yes, we're told to turn the other cheek, but we're also, we've got the Old Testament where it says eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, you know, punch for a slap, you know, so all that. And we lean more in our being as natural humans that we want the eye for an eye instead of the cheek for a slap. I mean, and even this, even the scripture tells us that when we suffer loss, the just thing is that loss be made up by the one who caused it. That's what we're told in the Old Testament. Amen? That's what it says. I read you the scripture last week. But also on a personal level, as Christians, we're taught to be like Jesus. We're taught to model the perfect example. And on a personal level, and like we talked about, that's not saying as a country we're supposed to be pacifists. It's not saying that we're supposed to let somebody come into our house and take everything in our house. Specifically, though, when it comes to someone else, we are to protect them. We're to do all we can to see that harm does not befall them. But when it comes to us, as Paul told the church of Corinth, are you not willing to suffer loss for the cause of Christ? Are you not willing to accept a lower state than to another? And remember, I asked the question, why don't we hear that preached very much anymore? Why don't we hear the idea that we hear about these, thou shalt not this, and you shouldn't do that, and you've got all these different ones that there's these, and sin is sin, don't get me wrong, we're to preach against sin, but the Bible says this, that judgment is to begin, justice is to begin in the house of the Lord, and that sometimes we can get caught up in pointing out there, saying thus saith the Lord, when what we really need to see revival is pointing in here and allowing the true thus saith the Lord. Because I've been watching, you know, I'm getting in this TikTok stuff now, and I'm beginning to watch Facebook a little more and all that, and I just see some downright mean preachers, man. I do. And I could have been that, and I may have been. But I don't want to say thus saith the Lord and it just be brine. And you know, I'm in a place where I love being American, but, you know, it's going to fade away. And I love my church, and I love being a Baptist, but it's going to fade away too. And I just want to know Jesus. And I want what he has for me. And not this religious network or outward showing, but I want something real. And you know what else, though? I'm talking to people. I'm talking to my deacons. I'm talking to our workers here. And they're feeling that as well. And they're waking up at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning and can't go back to sleep. And they just spend time with the Lord. And that's a bubbling. That's a stirring that God wants to do something in us, and with us and through us. Maybe even shake up the whole world. And you know, the idea of that money is the root of all evil. How many of you have heard that before? Many people will stand up and they'll say, thus saith the Lord, money is the root of all evil. When that's not the root of all evil, it's the love of money. It's the pride of life. It's those things. And it's harmful for there to be so liberal of a thus saith the Lord going out there. One, because we can twist things that are personal opinions and make them look like they're one of the Ten Commandments if we're not careful. And then there's also that if we're putting thus saith the Lord on our opinions, then we're misleading others and giving a false picture of who God is. Remember the Pharisee and the tax collector? He was presenting a picture of God, but he was presenting God as himself when he was praying there. The Bible even says, remember, as he prayed thus unto himself, King James. And so today I think we're going to put all that together. And we're going to try to focus a little bit on our nation as well, because our nation is awesome. But our nation is in need right now of some godly men and some godly women doing just what Sister Tammy said, and that's just getting serious about praying for our nation, man. Because that's the greatest weapon we have. But listen at this. According to the foundersarchives.org, John Adams wrote a letter to his wife, Abigail, on July the 3rd, 1776. And said this, the 2nd of July will be the most memorable epocha, or it, what that word means is uniquely or highly significant, unparalleled. In the history of America, I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the greatest anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated, listen to this, it ought to be commemorated as the Day of Deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfire, illuminations from one end of this continent to the other side. For this time forward and forevermore. Now, why in the world did he write it on the 3rd? And then he said that the 2nd will be the greatest of all days. Well, here's the thing. The Congress, they chose on the 2nd to the Declaration. They signed all that on the 2nd. It was on the 4th when they announced it and made it broadcast. And so that's why today we celebrate on the 4th and not the 2nd. So he was wrong about his day, but he was right. Because really and truly, the 4th is probably the greatest national holiday that we as Americans have. You have this one that may have, Thanksgiving at one time, and Christmas, or Kwanzaa, or Hanukkah, or whatever, you know. But the 4th of July, if you're an American, that's the day, man. We celebrate. We're all one. Red, yellow, black, and white, we can say, I'm an American. At least we can still now. And think about the money that will be spent on firecrackers and fireworks. And right here, we can say that the Second Amendment stands, right? Because if nothing else, they said we should have our guns for the 4th just to fire them off in the air like rawhide cowboys, right? Pow, 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 12 o'clock at night or whatever time you do it. But see, I mean, just the idea. And the specific thing, what are we celebrating? We're celebrating freedom. We're celebrating that we've not had to bend a knee to a king. We've not had to bow a head or we don't have to report once a year yet to kneel down and offer our obligations and all that to the Lord's. We're here to celebrate freedom. The 4th of July. And we celebrate it here, thank God. Because was it not for what we're celebrating, then we wouldn't even be here. If we weren't celebrating freedom, then we may not even be in the church today, you know. But what is freedom? It's the state of. I looked it up in about 4 or 5 different dictionaries. And what I looked up was the word free, because freedom means the state of. And so just looked at that. It's freedom, according to the Merriam-Webster 11th Collegiate Dictionary, is the state of having the legal and political rights of a citizen, civil and political liberty, separate from outside domination, not subject to the control of another, choosing or capable of choosing for oneself. Second one that they gave is freedom is the act of being relieved from a burden, not subject to government regulations. Having no obligations or commitments. Now, might I say that there is nothing as true as absolute freedom, okay? Just like absolute free will, we have free will, but we don't have absolute free will. We'll talk about that in a minute. Listen to what Merriam-Webster said, though. It says, freedom is the state of being removed from obstructions, from burdens, disentanglements. Listen, released from the duty or the obligation or the coercion. So then I went to the biblical aspect of freedom. to be free. And it's Eleutheros. Strong says simply that it means the state of not being a slave or under restraint, the state of being exempt. The New Bible Dictionary says that it's the state of not being conquered or captured, not enslaved or a prisoner of war. Then the Dictionary of Biblical Language, Eleutheros, says to be liberated or to have liberty. Isn't that awesome? But still, what is freedom? What is freedom? Do you think that the people that are listening here in chapter 8, when Jesus tells them that you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Let's read that again. Then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then they responded by saying, hey buddy, who do you think you are? We free already. Our daddy's Abraham. We ain't never been slave to nobody. You think they knew what they were saying? Did they understand what freedom was? Do we in America, one, know what freedom is, and two, do we really even have it? You know? Because, see, I think that not only does Israel here have a misunderstanding of where freedom is located, I think America today has a misunderstanding of where freedom is located and what freedom is. Listen to what they said, verse 33. It says, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. Man, can't you hear? I'm an American, buddy. We be Abraham's seed, and we're not in bondage to any man. How can you say that you're going to make us free? Now, they literally are saying right here, we're not slaves. We're not in submission to nobody. We don't bow down to nobody. Do you happen to know the history of the nation of Israel, even at this point right now? Let's go back a little bit further. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 40 through 41, it says, the time of the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of the heavens went out from the land of Egypt. Now, some scholars believe that maybe, because you remember that Joseph's coat was sold for many colors and he ended up in Egypt. You remember all that, right? And then the Bible tells us that he was promoted by Pharaoh. He got into a lofty position. He was in control of the supplies of the food distribution. You know, basically he was making sure everybody had something to eat and all that. And you know, I think for a while, even probably after he died and his family died, that they were still in a lofty position. They were still in a favorable position. And so it says 400 some odd years. So even if it was only half of that time, the Bible teaches us that they ended up being slaves. You remember? And remember, it says Pharaoh became so afraid, as we talked about Miriam earlier this year, that he wanted all the male babies put to death. You remember that? So now they're saying, hey, we're of Abraham's seed, and we've never been in slavery. Caught you in a lie, right? At least, let's just cut it in half, right? 215 years. 215 years they lived in slavery. Before they were ever a quote-unquote nation, they were slaves. They were born slaves. And then God uses Moses and Joshua to free the people. It's an amazing thing. Remember, he hears from heaven. It's a beautiful picture. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing testimony how God gave them liberation, how he brought freedom. No more burden, no more coercion, no more chains. They're gone. They've been set free, as the song said. But then around, I think it's 720 B.C., the nation of Assyria seized the northern kingdom. And they were held prisoners, took their valuables, and put puppet kings on the throne. And then a little bit later on, around 600 and something there, that was the northern. The 10 tribes were the first to be captured. And then the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar came in. Remember, that's where we get Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel from. And then they're held in at least another 70 years captivity there. When you read in Nehemiah and Ezra, those are when God is taking them back home. He's putting them back. Then around 63 B.C., the Roman general Pompey conquered Jerusalem. and just lambasted it. And that is where we're reading right now, beginning in 63, all the way up till about 70, I believe it is, when Rome comes in and just destroys Jerusalem after then. But that's where this man or whoever's responding is saying, hey, we're Abraham's children. How dare, man, we've never been free. As Roman guards are walking their streets, as they're paying Roman taxes, they're saying, man, you're crazy. We've never bowed to anybody. And then there's the Maccabean period. That's another 700 years without freedom. And it was up, what was it, 1948? When they became a nation again. The guy I was reading behind says that of Israel's establishment, 2,500 years of it was spent in slavery. Or spent in subjection to another. Now, they might have had a puppet king, or they might have had their own jurisdiction, but they were answering to someone above them. We are offsprings of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you're going to free us? I don't think they understood what freedom was, do you? I don't think they were wanting to admit to where they was. But let me ask you this. Do we as Americans want to admit to where we're at? Do we want to admit that we're not bowing in need to anyone? I want to read this to you. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them to another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station of which the laws of nature and the nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare that causes which impel them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish or to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers to such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety, their happiness, and their prudence. Indeed, will dictate that government long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed, listen, to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they have become accustomed. But when a long train of abuse and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. It is their right and it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future safety. Such has been the patent sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain, George III, is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having indirect object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to the candid world. I'm not going to read them all. He is meaning King George III, okay? He has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. Basically, it's saying that he's putting bad and harmful laws in, or taking bad and harmful good laws out. that are affecting the people. He has forbidden his government to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attain to them, meaning that he's forbidding certain things to be done or making other things be done. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people will relinquish their right of representation and legislation. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their republic, listen, for the sole purpose of fatiguing them in compliance with his measures, secret meetings and agreements. He has affected to render them military inept, independent of superior to civil powers. And I'm going to stop there on that part. But I want to wrap it up with this. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and are of right, ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all alliances to the Crown of Britain, that all political connections between them and the state of Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states they will have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things that our independent states may have the right to do. For the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protector of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. You need to get a copy of that because I don't know how much more longer you're going to be able to have it. You know? You see, Israel was saying, I'm free because I'm an Israelite. I'm free because of the God I serve. You know what? That didn't matter. That didn't matter. Matter of fact, that some people wanted to destroy them because they were Israel. You know, some people wanted to destroy them because of the God they served. And the same is true for us in America today. We're not free because we're Americans. And I'm not meaning to be mean, but yeah, I'm an American, but what did that do on 9/11? That didn't stop nothing. And we say and we declare we're Christians, but our religion doesn't have any authority. It's not because of our religion that we have freedom. You see, we have a false sense or a misunderstanding of where freedom lies. The authority, the power of it. It's not the government, it's not the military. You know, I mean, you remember when the Israelites were facing the Philistines and they were like, hey, we're going out there, we're going to win. And the Philistines were like, oh boy, we're going to get beat up and all that. Because they had the Ark of the Covenant. You remember? What happened? They got whooped. They got whooped. Ark of the Covenant got took. You see, freedom can only be found in one place. So then, if our individual freedom is not found in our heritage, right? I mean, we got some of the best founding fathers you could want. If our freedom is not found in our nationality, if our freedom is not found in our religion, then where is freedom to be found? Freedom is found in truth. It's what Jesus said, right? So we have a misunderstanding of where freedom is located, but then we have a clarification of where freedom can be found. Look, it says in verses 31 and 32, it says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed in him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I mean, clearly. Now, remember, last Sunday, as we talked about it, and there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, you remember, it was, you have heard that it has been said. Remember that the prophets of old, the ancients were told. And Jesus never said they weren't told that. Remember, he just said, this is what you've been said. But then, one of the most popular sayings, you have heard that it has been said, but I say unto you. You remember Jesus, they say Jesus never said that he was God. Right there he said he's God. Right there. When he didn't reference this one and he didn't reference that one and he didn't even go to Moses or he didn't even go all the way back. He said, I'm going to tell you something. You chalk this down. My daddy would have put it this way. Put this in your pipe and smoke on it, buddy. But see what he's saying. You remember when Moses went to the fire bush, what did he say? He said, I am that I am. And then when Jesus was talking to him over in the New Testament as well, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And right here he said, I say unto you. You know what he's doing right there? He's putting every bit of heaven's authority on himself. The throne is sitting on his back. When he's saying that right there, he says, you've heard that it's said that you ought not commit adultery, but I say unto you that if you look on another with a lust in your heart, then you've committed adultery already. Because why? Because I am God, and I don't look on the outward man, but I look on the hearts of men. You see, he's taking it down to the motive, not just the natural or outward act. And so he says to them, what does he say right here? Ye shall know the truth. I'm telling you. If you continue in my word, if you walk in my word, then you shall know the truth. Then the truth will set you free. Again, there's freedom here, but we don't have absolute freedom. Now, Jesus is saying two things. He's saying, one, freedom is out there. It's not some myth. It's not some unicorn and fairy tales and all this, but there is a freedom that is there to be obtained. Hallelujah. Isn't that good today? That we're not just running after a nothing. We're not grasping at air, but there is freedom that we can have. And praise God, He's blessed us in America that we've known what freedom is. We've lived freedom, but folks, if we don't live and grasp hold of where freedom lies, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose it if we ain't already. My wife told me not to be preaching like this. She's scared of Anyways, let's go on. There's freedom out there. Now, it's not, like I said, it's not total or absolute freedom, but it is freedom because, you know, we don't have absolute free will either. Did you choose who your mom and daddy's going to be? Did you choose where you're going to be born at? No, he's sovereign. He's got control, but we have a participation in that. We have part in that. And so freedom is like that as well. Now, there's always going to be obligations. We're never going to be able just to kick back and say, hey, just let it roll, man. I mean, if you own a house, what you got to do? You got to pay the bills on that house. You got to sweep the floors. There's obligations that come with freedom. They're a part of freedom. But there's two different ways. Look there in verses 34 and 36. Basically, all of us are servants to something. The Bible teaches that over and over and over again, right? And notice what he says. He says, well, those of you that sin, if we're sinners, then what? We're servants of sinners. Meaning that we're basically doing something that's not going to be beneficial for us. It's not going to help us. And in the long run, we don't even get to have anything of that we spent all our time and effort on. It breaks my heart. Because I watch over at these, like Uganda and these other countries, and I see these children fighting at 13, 14 years of age. And then I think about Chicago and Nashville and all these places, and there's kids killing kids, and they don't even own the land. What are they killing each other for? You see what I'm saying? There's no freedom there. They're killing and fighting over something they don't even know. And that's the picture of us. If we're sinners, then we're just going about, we're waging war, we're fighting, and at the end of it all, even if we win, there's not going to be a benefit in it for us. But then he says what? He says, servants don't abide, but the Son abides forever. And see, what does the Bible say? If we accept Jesus Christ, then He gives us the power, the authority to become joint heirs with Him. You know, basically, we are shareholders. We're shareholders in the house. Because, see, the efforts and the burden that we have, the duties that we have, it's to grow the house. It's to increase the kingdom. It's to make more of our Heavenly Father. It's to lift Him up. And in that, we are blessed because we bless Him. And so you see that He's saying, okay, we're all servants of something here. And if you're a servant of sin, then servants don't stay in the house. You might hang around a little bit, but ultimately you're not going to live in the house. But if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. You become joint heirs with Him. So we see that we have to look for that freedom. We find that freedom, and we find that freedom in the truth. But for this freedom, we have to access, locate, number one, and we've done that, right? Then we have to access. How do we access? Well, John 18:38. You knew that one was coming, right? Then Pilate said unto him, "So you are a king." And Jesus answered, "You said that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And what did Pilate say? Pilate said, "What is truth?" It's where we're at in America right now. What is truth? And here's the thing. Truth, what did he say? "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, truth is a real thing. Freedom is a real thing, but they're not the same thing. But here's it. You cannot have freedom unless you have truth. So if you don't have truth, then there is no freedom. It's some facade. It's some fakeness. And I'm telling you, we're living in a world of lies right now. Our country lies to us every day. Every day. And don't think nothing else about it. But Jesus said, "I've got the truth. And I'll let you have that truth." And if you have that truth, then what can you have? Freedom. Now, again, freedom and truth are not the same thing. Truth is what is in accordance to what is happening. The facts, what corresponds to reality. Now, think about this. It's the same word there, truth, in our study scripture, our main scripture, "You shall know the truth." It's the same word there as used over in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 27, which says this: "For truly in this city there were gathered together," and he's talking about Jerusalem here in the death of Jesus Christ, okay? He says, "For truly in this city there were gathered together against the holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel." And so what the writer is saying there is this: you were here when everything went down against the Lord. You were here. You saw how that the political parties and the religious parties of both the state and Israel, Rome and Israel, they came together and they killed our Lord and Savior. You were here. You saw it. You know that's real. But if you weren't here, it don't matter. Maybe you didn't see it. Maybe you wasn't there to see Him die on the cross or see Him get beat. But it doesn't matter, because it's the truth. It's reality. It's what happened, whether you were here or whether you were not, whether you like it or whether you don't. This is historical fact. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, "You shall know the truth." Now see, the world's denying truth today. We're living in a time where literally they're making up our truths. Their truth. I mean, how in the world can these people be standing there with Roman soldiers walking around and saying, "Hey, we've never been slaves or servants"? How in the world can we have people saying, XY and XX doesn't mean you're a man or a woman. It's what you feel like you have, what you want. How can we have people that say, are the vaccines, just take them and trust the science? I mean, they are wanting us to buy stuff that make no sense. And here's what's sad. Half the country is. Half the country is. You see, that's why in Matthew 24, verse 24, it says, it's going to get so bad that if I didn't do something, that even the very elect would be deceived. That even the very elect would be deceived. I tell Amy this almost every day now. Only thing I can trust is the Bible. Only thing I can trust is Christ. That's why I want to know what thus saith the Lord and not anything else. Amen? But then, listen to what he says. Jesus said unto him, how do we access that truth? How do we get to that freedom? John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, I am the truth." Same word as over there in chapter 8 in the Greek. Same word. "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." That which is in accordance with reality. That's what he said. I am what's in accordance with reality. facts that correspond to what's happening. That's what Jesus is saying, I'm that. And so when he says, you shall know the truth, what did he say before that? Continue in my word. Remember, what I'm telling you, trust it. What I am speaking to you, trust it. Who I am, I am just not speaking the truth, but I am the truth. You cannot take truth away from Christ, or he's no longer Christ. He is what is real. And listen to what it said about the Word. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by him, for him, and through him. Amen? And his Word. Listen to what the Bible says about the truth, or the Word of God. Psalm chapter 119, verse 99, Forever, O Lord, your truth is established. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, but the word of God lasts forever. Mark chapter 13, verse 31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word that has been preached unto you. Glory, hallelujah, we have the truth. And I'm going to tell you what. We may not all be walking in freedom if we know Jesus. That's just honest, because sometimes we allow ourselves to be, you know, bundled up by nerves, angered by anger or situations or whatever. But I tell you this, if you know Jesus, then you're living in the truth, right? If it's authentic. And if you're living in the truth, then there's a way for you to live in freedom, even in the darkest of dungeons. Is that not awesome? I mean, we just look at Paul. And he could write, and you know he'd rather been out there preaching, but yet he wrote in there, and he, man, just praise God. It's unfathomable what God has given to us. And today, as we get ready to celebrate, 2 days on Tuesday, we get to celebrate this freedom. And we celebrate freedom because our forefathers recognized truth. They put so much of it into our documentation that we have that it's undeniable. But even if all that is gone, we have truth, and therefore we have freedom, meaning that we are not bound by the things we see. We don't have to be coerced by the emotions that come upon us, because we're looking to a country not made by human hand. And we're just pilgrims passing through, like the ones in the Exodus was walking through the wilderness to get to the promised land. And so today I am thankful to be an American. I ask you to get you a copy of the Declaration of Independence. I'm going to ask Sister, well, just stay where you are. If you feel led to come to the altar this morning, what we're going to do is this, is just a few moments silence. If you want to come forward, you come. If you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that the day is the day and you come and see me, or come and see a friend that may know it. But I want to just close out, and you can remain seated, with a prayer for our nation. A Thanksgiving prayer. Thank God that I'm an American. Amen. And I'm going to ask Brother John Franklin, if he would come up here with me. And I'm going to ask him to start this prayer. And after he's done, if you feel led to pray out loud, you go ahead and do it. And after a few moments, I'll close this out in prayer. But during that time, if the Lord's dealing with you, you come forward, and I'll do my best to show you what the Bible says about true freedom found in the truth of Jesus Christ. Brother John. Yes, Lord.
Declaration of our independence, Father, Lord, on this July 4th festival.
Yes, Jesus.
To be born in, to live in, of our sins.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
We can't deny that, Father, Lord. But none of that freedom is possible without
Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you. We just give you all the thank
you. Yes, Lord. Anyone, don't be deterred by emotions or feelings. If God's telling you to pray, you pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is in the name of Jesus that we come before you. I come before you in the name above every name. Lord, the truth. What is reality when we don't know what's real? We know Jesus. And it's in his name that we call upon you today. And first off, Lord, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her. And you have, Lord, you've made us if not the greatest nation on the globe, at one point, at least one of the. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you've allowed me to be born not only just in America, but Lord, to be born in a place where the Bible is loved, where your word has been taught, around people that you've drawn them close to you. And Lord, I love our country. And God, it breaks my heart to see the fighting in the streets and the discord. But Lord, I can't help believe that some of it's manipulated and wanted. And I ask you to rebuke that. I ask you to get that out of the way, Heavenly Father, Lord, to bring a cleansing and a purifying to our country. And Lord, let it begin in me. I'm a sinner, Lord. I need you to guide me in truth and in spirit. I pray you take pride out of my life. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, you let me look unto you, the author and the finisher of my faith, and let me be humbled in your presence. And Lord, I pray the same for every one of my brothers and sisters here today. And I thank you for the time that you've given me with them. And God, we together say thank you for America. We together say, Lord, God bless America. And we ask you, Lord, to send revival to America. And Lord, we do pray right now for Sister Alma and Sister Carol and all of Miss Moni's family. We thank you that Miss Ernestine may even be home already. And Lord, we ask you to bring total and complete healing to Brother Wayne. God, we love you and we praise you. And again, thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you, brother. I'll give you enough of my wife. I'm going to know you all down.